Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stabenow. Appreciate your company today. Good to have you along. I think today's program will be challenging, and we'll find some new areas where perhaps there's ministry that we can be involved in and see lives changed and some very real needs and close to home perhaps as well. We're going to talk about issues of human trafficking and sex slavery, some of those things, and more. We'll get to that in a moment. Ted, just thinking, we're counting down for our third annual Writers Contest here at Faith Radio, and the deadline for submissions coming up on the 17th, right?
So, yeah, today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days left.
Yeah, and it's midnight the 17th thing, so you know, right. If you like to procrastinate, just so you can.
Yeah, I'll do it after church.
Sure, do it the Sunday afternoon. Again, just it's an opportunity for you to submit a story, fiction or nonfiction. And then we also want everyone to get on and read those. You can they're posted online. Then you can vote for the one that you think is your favorite. And, of course, the winners, great opportunity. There'll be three winners from fiction, three from nonfiction. And they have opportunity to meet one-on-one with the acquisition editor at Baker Bethany Publishing, which is
could be somebody's big break.
Right. Huge opportunity. Mm-hmm. So, if you've ever thought about writing a book, just to have some aspirations to that, this could be a wonderful opportunity. Check it out online, myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. I'm thinking my guest today could probably write a story or two.
I'm sure.
About her experiences. Dr. Gloria Halverson is the Global Health Outreach Team Leader for CMDA, Christian Medical and Dental Association. She's a graduate of the Medical College of Wisconsin, where she also did her internship. And OBGYN residency. She was most recently a professor of gynecology at the MCW, which she left to refocus and finish well in the areas which God has called. Her academic career is focused on advanced reproductive technology. She spends most of her professional time teaching missionary doctors and working in the area of human trafficking, teaching, leading short-term healthcare mission teams, and establishing medical practices for a global use. And we're honored and excited to have some time with Dr. Gloria Halverson, who actually is one of us, has spent most of her years growing up in Minnesota and then studying in Wisconsin. Oh. So and met your husband in Minnesota. Is that right, Gloria?
That's right.
Good. So we're claiming you anyway. We glad to have some time with you. I'm interested a little bit about, you know, working in OBGYN, that's a wonderful career choice. But I'm wondering how you you became involved in dealing with the medical issues of women that are trafficked. That doesn't sound like maybe necessarily a normal path of progression.
No, and it was definitely God's calling, because it wasn't on my agenda of where I was going or you know, what I thought God wanted me to do. I am very blessed to serve on the board of Christian Medical Dental Association. It's a superb organization. And every once in a while, besides having their regular board meeting, they go somewhere where there's a need for medical help, and they add an extra week on, and we stay and we work there. And that trip, I had nothing to do with setting up, but we did our board meeting in Nicaragua, and went to work at a place called House of Hope. House of Hope was a rescue shelter at that time, and a program that deals with both the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of women. And it was a really exciting place. I heard a lot of stories there from a woman telling me that she'd made some bad choices and she had no way left to feed her children, so the only thing she could do was sell her daughter so she could feed her sons. And I met another young girl who was 12, and she'd been sold for $7.60 by her mother. Just incredible stories. And I stood there, and I just really heard God's calling. You know, they say I always wondered why somebody didn't go do something about this, and then I realized I am somebody. And I just felt a need to get involved, because these girls are voiceless and faceless, and I think without God in their lives, there really is not hope for them, because they have not had a father. They don't know what a father's love is. They don't know that they are worthy of respect and have dignity. And so I think we have the answers for them that can give them hope. And so I started leading short-term medical teams down there to come alongside House of Hope Ministry and help them be more effective.
You know, we hear, and thankfully, the whole area of slavery, human trafficking, and you know, is becoming at the forefront of a lot of organizations, of a lot of passion about working against that. But I think we maybe sometimes assume, well, that's a problem that's over there. It's in you know, it's in Latin America, or it's in Southeast Asia, or it's in you know, parts of Europe or Russia, but. This is really a global concern, isn't it?
Absolutely. Trafficking is a major problem in this country, Neil, and you hit on a very good point. We don't realize it, that it's across the street and in our backyard. In Minnesota, for example, that's the 13th largest trafficker of children happens in Minnesota, and it's the third in the nation in online solicitation of children using internet. The third in the country. So we have very serious problems. Right here in Wisconsin, every single county has had trafficking cases found in it. So it's not just over there.
And as we go along, we're going to want to just talk more about, you know, what can we do? How can we be involved? What's the best thing to do? We'll get to that as we continue our discussion. Dr. Gloria Halverson is our guest today from on the board of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. And specializes in teaching and training and working with women that are coming out of trafficking. And I guess, you know, as a gynecologist, you're certainly aware of the damage and trauma done to these millions of exploited women and girls. Talk a little bit about the kind of care that these victims need.
Well, they have a lot of problems in their own system, even if their countries have health care, because, well, in this country, they're afraid to utilize it or go there. They don't want to be arrested. That happens in other countries, too, or they're not allowed to go. You know, a pimp is not going to say to a woman, well, it's time for your yearly pap smear. You know, if they start losing their product to sell, they're going to get them care, but it's once they're really sick and they're really in danger. We also find that these women tend to be discriminated against a lot when they seek care, both in this country and overseas in low-resource countries. Unfortunately, we just had a board meeting for House of Hope last week, and one of the things we talked about is the hesitancy of the churches to get involved because they don't want these kind of women in their churches. We find that we go down there, yes, we're delivering short-term medical care, but God's using it in a lot bigger ways than that. We bring medical teams for pediatrics, for general medicine. We bring gynecology. We bring our own pharmacy and medications. That's a big issue because they can't afford medication. We bring ultrasound and technology that they also can't afford to get. We bring dentists, which is a huge need. Our dentists are the busiest because these women can't get help with their teeth. And if you've ever had a tooth abscess, you know the kind of pain it can give that these people are living with. We also provide eyeglasses. And when you're at a place like House of Hope where kids are finally getting put into school and you put on glasses and they can see the blackboard and you can see the smile on their face, it's something that's really important to help them. I think for gynecology, that the problems are huge because there's so much sexually transmitted infections that these women get besides run-of-the-mill obstetric and gynecologic problems. We're setting up a global cervical cancer screening program that we've expanded to a few sites now because these women don't get that kind of care, and because they can have 20 or 30 partners in a night and can start, you know, at age 7 or 10 or 12, they're at very, very high risk, and it's not their fault. But we've been able to do excellent screening for them, and treat a lot of precancerous conditions so they're gone.
It's heartbreaking just to think, you know, of ages 7 or 10 or 12. I mean, at any age, it's heartbreaking, yeah. But it's particularly challenging. You have children of your own. I mean, this must just break your heart every time you have the opportunity to offer some help.
The youngest victim of human trafficking that I've taken care of had already been rescued from trafficking, and she was 5 years old. I have a 5-year-old grandson, and I can't wrap my head around it at all. You look at an innocent young child that age, and you think, no, it can't be. After the trip where I saw her, I don't think I could even talk about it for 2 weeks after I came home because the impact is so great. Your heart is so broken.
Now, it's our hope that during our conversation today that our hearts will break anew for the suffering that's going on in our world today at the hands of other humans, or maybe inhuman, it seems. And we'll talk about help and hope and some of the good work that Christian Medical and Dental Association doing through their global health outreach. Dr. Gloria Halverson is on the board of a CMDA. She's an instructor in medicine, has a specialist in gynecology and reproductive medicine, and is serving the Lord in a powerful way here, intervening on the behalf of those that are voiceless and helpless in many ways. We invite you to join the conversation if you have maybe experienced some hope and help and would like to just find out how you can be plugged in more, what Gloria is doing. You can call us at 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Dr. Gloria Halverson, my guest today here on Connecting Faith. More in a moment. It's 18 past the hour, talking today with Dr. Gloria Halverson. She is working with the Christian Medical and Dental Association, has established a partnership with the House of Hope in Nicaragua, provides services to victims of slavery. It's a reality, not just in Nicaragua or Southeast Asia, but it's everywhere. And Dr. Halverson is just talking about her home state, Wisconsin, how it's prevalent there in Minnesota and all across the country, the nation. This is not something that's just out there. And she discovered on her first missions trip that she was someone that could do something, and God has called her to work in this area. One of the things I know, Dr. Halverson, that you not only provide for medical care, but there's also messages of hope and empowerment. Just say a word about why that's so important in this fight.
Oh, absolutely. That's really why we go. It's sort of a tent-making ministry to do medicine. But we know, treating headaches or treating parasites or something like that is going to be short-lived and they're going to come back. The way we have a lasting impact on these women is with trying to help them spiritually. We pray with all of our patients. One of the strategic things we do, when our team comes down, House of Hope has done work to begin with, and they have, advertised in the brothels that were coming. There's over 100 registered brothels in Managua alone, and that doesn't include the places where they hide the young girls away. They tell them we're coming, and then we actually, after church on Sunday, go into the brothels, and we tell them we're there and we'd like them to come. A personal invitation means a lot. We've sat and prayed with many of the prostitutes in the brothels. The madams in the brothels running the houses have asked us to pray with them, and they're getting to know us. It means so much to these women who feel that they are no value that we come back, and we come back, and we come back, and we say, you do matter. And you matter because God loves you. And you matter because Jesus died for you. House of Hope has, besides their residential program where women are learning about Christ and learning basic life skills. Some of them don't even know how to cook or do things like that. And then they don't have any way to earn money or support a family. So they teach them skills that are microenterprise. Besides doing all of that, they have a very strong spiritual outreach. So about 300 or 400 women are bused in every Tuesday for praise and worship and ministry, and then they start working on sewing or working on making jewelry or working on their other crafts. They have cell groups scattered throughout the town so that on Fridays women come for small Bible study and prayer groups. So the emphasis is definitely on the spiritual, even though we use the medical to make the connection.
Now, obviously, there's, this is a huge money-making enterprise for those that are trafficking these girls and women. Are you safe in sort of going in these areas? Or, I mean, it would seem like, you're sort of looking at the face of evil most of the time in this.
People have commented on the team that they feel like they're standing at the gates of hell. The evil is, you can feel it. It's just heavy in the air in these places, so you're absolutely right. Let me first go back to your thing about the money. In the U.S., it's estimated that this is a $9.5 billion industry a year, and that's one of the problems with solving the problem, because the money issue is so big. In the world, it's thought to be a $32 billion industry a year. So we're not talking about a small problem. You know, this is second to the drug trade for making money. Only if I sell you heroin, I don't have my product anymore. If I sell you a girl, I can sell her over and over and over. So more big crime, the mafia, other groups are moving into this because it is so lucrative. So that was the first part of your statement. The second part you had asked me, can you ask me that
about
again?
Yeah, about safety. Just, I mean, you're you're obviously going in to provide medical care, but maybe they're not interested in medical care, perhaps.
Right. It's not wise for any short-term mission groups to just go in and wander around and think they're going to do good without a national partner when you don't know the culture and don't know the area. For example, a project I've worked with on trafficking in Mumbai, India. They work in specific alleys in a brothel that's so large that they have 20,000 men come on Sunday afternoons for these women. But we work in the areas where these ministries, these national local ministries, have worked for a long time, and they know these people, and there is safety in that. In India, there are certain, we set up a tent in the middle of an alley in a brothel, and we know that that block and the next couple alleys are safe. But we would be in major trouble if we wandered into other areas that are more dangerous. So you're very dependent on the work that's been done before you, and you're really going there to aid the on-ground people who really have the long-term commitment with these people. You know, many of these ministries have worked for years and years setting up the relationships. And even when we worked in India, we had not just the prostitutes coming to our clinic and the trafficked women, but pimps themselves would come and madams would come, because one of the men there said to us, I see Jesus at work here. We're willing to give to them too.
Let's take a call. Penny is listening in Fargo in Faith 1200, calling from Grand Forks. Penny, you're on with Dr. Gloria Halverson. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, my name's Patty, but that's
fine. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
That's okay. Thank you for taking my call. I was interested when you were talking about that, Doctor, about the eyeglasses. There's so many people to throw their eyeglasses away, used one. I was, you know, just thinking, I just bought a new pair. I don't even know what to do with my old pair. Is there any, you know, like if I got my church involved and got a whole bunch of, you know, glasses, you know, that people weren't using. Is there anywhere that we could send them to, an organization or something, for these, you know, people that don't have that, you know, luxury of having 10 pair in their closets?
That's a great question, Patty, because there are so many ways to help by collecting things that we can here. eyeglasses have to be refracted, and you need to know exactly, you know, what strength they are. So it's difficult for a lot of short-term teams to have that level of equipment to do it. We're able to buy eyeglasses from several organizations for about $2 a pair, and they take the ones that people donate. So the places I know that do that overseas, for example, is the Lions Club. They collect eyeglasses. They figure out what the refraction is and label them so they can go overseas and be used. Also, several of the eyeglass sellers in the malls and in the stores have barrels where they will collect them. And they also will do that basic work of getting the refraction right and then get them to low-resourced areas to use.
Yeah, good reminder, though, that we have oftentimes more than we need. And like you said, I can think of probably a handful of pairs, you know, in my closet someplace in the Alliance Club. Or check with your local, you know, optometrist and just see if they do a collection or find a place that they would. So good recommendation. Gloria, I do want to talk a little bit about just maybe the resources, because you use the word under-resourced, and that is certainly the case, isn't it, when it comes to medical supplies and needs. We've got a break coming up in a couple of minutes, but just maybe start talking a bit about that. What does that look like when in terms of under-resourced? Is there anything that these places have?
Not in abundance, that's for sure. And most things they're very limited on. We have women that come to House of Hope who have lived in cardboard boxes or lived under, you know, just tin out on the street. So basic housing, basic hygiene, so many basic things. In Mumbai, in the brothels, the women have one room, and the bed is the length of the room, and their children stay under the bed while they're working, or the children are out all night while they're working, and they don't have any indoor plumbing. They don't have any indoor cooking facilities. Very, very limited. Even in low-resourced countries like Nicaragua, which is the second poorest country in this hemisphere after Haiti, working in the hospitals there, working in government clinics, I found that it's very hard to get medications for people. Women in labor or people after surgery, basically what they have for medication is Tylenol or aspirin. They don't have the machines or the fancy equipment that we have. They don't have, you know, MRI scanners and CT scanners like we have. You really have to be very creative in what you do.
We'll talk a little bit more about that and continue our conversation with Dr. Gloria Halverson, who serves with the Christian Medical and Dental Association. They're a wonderful organization of medical professionals, one of the largest medical professional organization in the country. And we're talking today particularly about trafficking and victims of slavery. You're welcome to join the conversation at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. In the International Justice Mission and the fight against trafficking. We've been talking about that, and we'll expand our conversation a bit to medical missions as well with Dr. Gloria Halverson, who is on the board of trustees for the Christian Medical and Dental Association, serves in their Human Trafficking Commission, and leads one of the team leaders for the Global Health Outreach as they take short-term mission opportunities to teach, to help, to provide medical care. And we've been hearing about that. She is a graduate of the Medical College of Wisconsin, and her husband grew up in the area here, and we're honored to have her with us today. We were just talking a little bit about, you know, some of the challenges in places like Nicaragua and Mumbai, where just have limited resources, but I'm sure that there are limits to the medical supplies you talked earlier about. You kind of bring everything in when you come, right? Are you able to get supplies that you need to bring in? And is there other ways that are there local doctors and medical providers that can get equipment? I mean, I think you served with MAP International for a while too, right?
I had a scholarship from them back when I was a medical student, and that was my very first short-term mission opportunity, which really gave me a passion.
So maybe say a word about are there some things that the average listener could do to encourage the provision of medical supplies at whatever level it might be?
One of the things that's getting more and more difficult is bringing supplies into countries. There are groups that have, for example, illegally brought in illegal drugs, claiming they were vitamins, and it's made some countries very nervous about having things brought in. Other countries also can feel that the United States just gives them their cast-off or uses them as guinea pigs in experiments, and so you can't send anything that's expired. For example, we're offered expired medications. They won't let you bring those into the country. We have to have at least a year from expiration on that. We can buy some things in country as far as medications and things. We've also found some large distributors. GHO has found these that will be able to buy the medications at a much cheaper cost because, Neil, what it's costing now in the United States to buy medications. So by placing large bulk orders, they're able to get more. So actually, they need more of the resources to buy the medications than the actual medications because so much is so limited of what you can take. But speaking of these women down there, there's so many other ways to support them with things they need. For example, school. Many of these women who are trafficked and the girls, they come from severe poverty backgrounds, and they've never been in school. They've been put to work early. This program gets the girls into school. In order to get into school, you have to have a uniform and school supplies, and people can't afford to do that. The girls at House of Hope all are given uniforms and school supplies, but they found that if you can get the girls in the brothels to have school uniforms, they're less likely to be brought to the attention of the traffickers because the traffickers realize that someone cares about them and someone's looking after them. And so they're not as likely to take them into prostitution. There was an example down there of a girl. I think she was either 11 or 12. I can't remember for sure. But she started begging because she wanted to go to school and she needed the money to get a school uniform for herself and her younger brother. So she started going around begging for money, and she asked the security guard for money so she could go to school and her brother could go to school. And he said, "Well, I'll give you money if you give me sex." And this girl wound up prostituting so that she could go to school. She later moved into House of Hope, but she just cried when she was just given a uniform and school supplies. But getting uniforms for these girls is huge. They were able this year to give out over 1,400 uniforms to girls whose moms are involved in the House of Hope program and keep them out of trafficking. And, prevention is one of the best things we can do. I've had people here collect uniforms at the end of the school year, which we're coming up to now, that no private schools that have Peter Pan type of blouses for girls and blue skirts for girls and blue shorts and white shirts for boys and send uniforms down. Other people who will donate the $30 it takes to get a school uniform for a child for a year. And that, if you can educate especially girls, you break the cycle. So we can have, with our resources and just a small amount, we can have a major impact on someone's life.
Which, was, I guess, one of the questions, and I'm sure you probably have dealt with it in some of the low moments, too, but wondering, what difference can I really make? I'm helping some, but the need is so great, and you're in the countries where injustice seems to be institutionalized. So how do you keep your hope up in the midst of all that?
Well, I keep my passion for working up because of the fact that God didn't call us to save the world. He called us to do what we can do, and we have an obligation to do that. That's throughout Scripture. So we just need to do our best. There's a ministry in Thailand for trafficked women that's called a starfish ministry because they use that story that people know of the beach full of the starfish and somebody trying to throw them in and a cynic saying, well, what difference are you going to make? Look at all these starfish on the beach. And he says, well, to this starfish, it makes a big difference. So one-on-one relationally, I think we're called to do it. I think it does take some mindset. It takes a lot of prayer, and there's a lot of spiritual warfare when we put our teams together. There's no question that we are walking into a dark place where we are not wanted, and we find a lot of spiritual attacks on the team, so prayer and support of others become very important for keeping that hope up. And also working with places that are effective. There are so many people calling for our dollars these days or our time. And you need to investigate the place you're working with to be sure that they're using the resources well and they're effective. One of the neat stories I like about House of Hope since we started working there, it's been great going back every 6 months and seeing the change in the women and the change in the children. Now, after 5 years of House of Hope, there are graduates there, women who have lived on campus, learned all these life skills, really gotten into Scripture and Bible study and helping them deal with their anger and their emotions and their hurts. And these women are now going back into the brothels, and they're taking buses to Honduras to other brothels. And they're going in and they're saying, look, I was where you were, but because of God and because of the hope in him, you don't have to be here. There is a way out, and there is hope for you. And those are the people who have real credibility, because those are the women that have lived it, you know? But I am really convinced that the changes I see down there, only God could do. I've never seen that kind of restoration and growth, you know, normally in our churches in the way we go here. God has his hand on it, and we have to trust him to do it. We're just trying to be his hands, but he's the one that does it.
Dr. Gloria Halverson today with us on Connecting Faith. She's a global health outreach team leader for Christian Medical and Dental Association, and teaches and trains medical professionals and does short-term mission, healthcare mission, leads mission teams there, establishing medical practices for global use, particularly focusing on the areas of human trafficking. Gloria, you talked about, you know, these girls, particularly in Nicaragua, where if they have a uniform, then they maybe get a pass from the getting trafficked because it says someone cares about them. I'm wondering if that, you know, because this is such a global issue and even in our own communities we may not be aware of it, are there some maybe ways that we could, as our local church, realize, show that we care about some of those that might be even trafficked in our own communities?
I'm so glad you asked that, Neil, because I think there is a major role for the church and for us as Christians here in our country. We are what's called a destination country and a source country. So there are women who are in poverty overseas, and they can't make enough money to support their family, and they're offered jobs as a nanny or in a restaurant or something like that. They're brought to this country. They're locked in a room. Their passports are taken away. They're starved. They're beaten, and they're told they have to work in the sex industry, or their family is going to be killed back at home. We have this group of people who come in. There's probably, it's estimated, about 20,000 a year that are brought into the U.S. this way. But our main source of trafficking in this country are our own teenagers. The average age of entering prostitution or sex work in this country is age 12. And if you look at the lives that these women come from, these young girls, it's a little different situation than it is internationally. They've usually been in homes that have a lot of abuse in it, either emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. They're trying to escape a bad situation, and they feel that anything's going to be better than what they have, or they feel very unloved, and they've dropped out of school, and they don't have a lot of resources and things to carry them through. And at the mall or online, someone meets, someone meets them. It's felt that a teenage runaway, for example, within 24 to 48 hours, most of them are contracted by a trafficker. And they may say to them, gee, you're really beautiful. You could be a model. You're a model, right? No? Oh, well, you should be. I have a friend who could, you know, take some pictures of you and help get you in the business. Hey, how about, why don't I take you out to dinner and we'll talk about this? And she gets in his car, and that's it. She's taken. So many of these people come from bad circumstances. I want to put in something parenthetical here to say that's not always the case, because we see, I have several parents in my church, which is a large church, whose daughters are currently being trafficked, and they didn't start out in that kind of situation. There's books about the girls across the street who whipped in cheerleaders and in great situations. So this stereotype doesn't apply all over, but I wanted to use this one to speak to your question. You know, we talk about, when I talk to youth groups at churches, we talk about bullying in schools. We talk about these kids who don't have friends, these kids who are failing, these kids who are loners. I think even our Christian teenagers can help these children to come alongside them and let them know they are of value. We can go into the schools and do tutoring. We can try to keep the kids in school. We can work for local shelters in our area who will help to get a bus pass or drive someone, because they can't work because they don't have a birth certificate, but they can't get to the place to get it because they don't have a car, they don't have transportation, so they can't get into the school or program they want. We can work a lot on the prevention angle. We can also work on the angle of the law and justice, because there's a lot that could be done in our laws in this country. And churches can be involved in that, like International Justice Mission is. For example, you'll see online conversations where people say, well, if we just legalize prostitution in this country, then the girls wouldn't be trafficked because it would be legal for them. Well, you can look at countries like Amsterdam, or cities like Amsterdam, and, excuse me, countries like Netherlands, where prostitution is legal, and their trafficking problem is horrendous. The only place that has made a difference is in a country like Sweden, where they've said it's not illegal to sell sex, it's illegal to buy sex. And what they're doing is going after that church elder or that school teacher or that coach or that businessman who is out buying these girls but doesn't want his name in the newspaper or on an arrest record, and their trafficking rate has plummeted. Many, I've seen churches involved come together in communities and put together John schools. And John schools break down a lot of the myths that men have about, well, women enjoy themselves and I'm helping them out by paying them and making money. Well, the money, if they're trafficked, is not going to them. But they these men will go to school like you do when you want to keep your driver's license, and they learn how wrong this is and how they have so many misperceptions, and it's really cut down the rates. Here in our community, we have about 10 or 12 churches that are come together in the Milwaukee area with a group called Exploit No More. They're setting up a home for adolescents, because what do you do with these girls when you get them out of trafficking? Where do they go? If you send them back home to the place they started, the cycle's not broken. It's going to continue. And it takes a lot of resources, but churches can do that when they come together and help work with these kids. a big thing we have to start doing in our churches for our own children is worry about the internet, because that's why trafficking of these teens is spreading so much, or one of the reasons in this country is the widespread use of the internet. It's thought that about a third of kids in school age now in high school sext, do sexting online. There's lots of code lines to warn people texting you that the parents are in the room or you want to get away. People go into chat rooms. They go onto online sites. They think they're talking to another 14-year-old boy who's telling them that they're pretty or praising them or seems to love them, when really it's a 50-year-old sex predator. Our kids are in terrible danger with these things, and through their innocence, they don't realize what they're getting involved with. So we need to educate our teens. We need to educate everybody.
Providing some good insight today and challenge, Dr. Gloria Halverson, who serves with the Christian Medical and Dental Association. She's a graduate of the Medical College of Wisconsin, where she most recently a professor of gynecology at MCW. And she's working in the area of specializing or focusing on the medical needs for those that are trafficked and in slavery, and does a lot of teaching and leading short-term healthcare mission teams and establishing medical practices for global use. We're getting some good perspective today from Gloria. We'll continue in our conversation in just a minute here on Connecting Faith. Past the hour. I got a few minutes left today to talk with Dr. Gloria Halverson, who is from the Milwaukee area, and she's leading one of the team leaders for Global Health Outreach. It's a ministry of a Christian Medical and Dental Association. She's on the board there, also serves on the board in for House of Hope in Nicaragua, and has been using her medical skills to help in a variety of ways, particularly for those that are trafficked and need medical assistance. And Gloria, I just want to say, but maybe as someone who has led teams in the medical mission trips, that what would be your challenge to those that might be listening today that are in the medical profession about serving in some global health capacity? I mean, obviously Christians have been on the forefronts of reaching out medically in the name of Jesus for decades.
Well, I think that a lot of people don't get involved, not because they don't care, but because they don't know how to get involved or what to do. Or it's just overwhelming, the logistics of finding a place and getting plane tickets and finding a place to stay and taking supplies and do all of this. So a good way to get involved is with short-term mission programs that are already established. You don't have to first say, well, I'll go give 3 years of my life to this place. There are teams that can really make a difference that go for a week or go for 2 weeks or go for a month, and that's a good way to start. Just to give you an example, Global Health Outreach has about 50 teams a year that they send out all over the globe, all in areas of great needs, all with local partnerships. They list their teams online. People can get, you know, the place to stay, the time of the flight, getting the plane tickets, all of that is helped with. And again, they're established programs, so you know that they are going to do a good job. Somebody's not just setting up shop on a street corner and not understanding the cultural differences and the needs of the area. So it doesn't have to be in trafficking. The medical needs around this world are just incredible. And besides short-term teams, there's other kinds of opportunities for doctors. For example, teaching. There's a program CMDA has in Africa called PACS, Pan-African Christian College of Surgeons. They love to have people come over and work alongside their African residents and help them get trained. They're trying to produce 100 surgeons for Africa by the year 2020, because in the past, to get any education for surgery, that resident had to go to England or the United States, and then they tended to never go back home again. And this is a very strong Christian program with people committed to working in areas that are very underserved. I'd also say for healthcare professionals, if you're not looking at a medical trip, you still need to get yourself educated, because who is the person who sees a traffic victim? You're not likely to meet them on the street walking down or in a store. Police see them, social workers see them, and healthcare professionals see them. Some studies have showed that up to 80% of people who are trafficked have been in healthcare facilities while they've been trafficked, and it's not led to their release because people don't recognize them and don't know what to do. Christian Medical and Dental Association has an 11 online module for continuing medical education that doctors can get to learn about this. We do lecturing and teaching at emergency departments and family practice programs and medical schools and Christian medical groups all over the country, trying to get people's awareness up. CMDA's trafficking group is sponsoring a conference in November in Atlanta that's just going to be a day-and-a-half program to get people trained in this area. So one of the first things to do is get educated, because time after time people have come up to me after these programs and said, you know, that reminded me of a woman I saw last week, if I had only known. So we can be having impact here as well.
CMDA.org, is that the best connection?
That's the connection.
Yep. All right. CMDA.org stands for the Christian Medical and Dental Association. They have great resources online. They can also get links to the Global Health Outreach to follow up there as well and find out more about the good work and maybe become a part of this great organization. We've got just a minute or two left. Gloria, say a word about maybe how you should pray. Are there some specific things that we could pray for, in particular as it relates to those that are trafficked and the fight there?
Yes, absolutely. Protection, as you mentioned, these are dangerous areas. But let's start with keeping people out of trafficking, praying for that, praying for the women who are being trafficked, and they are so emotionally and psychologically and spiritually damaged as well as physically damaged. They need to know we have a God of love and a God of justice and a God of mercy. And there needs to be hope for them. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for the pimps. We need to pray for the madams, because they're very damaged people that they would do this kind of thing. We need to pray for the people who are using these women, because that's what drives the industry. And although most of them are women and girls, boys are also trafficked. And we never even touched on the areas of labor trafficking and all the other ways people are trafficked in the world today. There are 27 million estimated trafficked people in the world today. They need our prayers.
Dr. Gloria Halverson providing an important challenge for us today. She's a Global Health Outreach Team Leader for Christian Medical and Dental Association. She's on the board of trustees there and focuses on human trafficking as well, and leads medical teams, does a lot of training, and providing developing health protocols for these unique medical needs, and has given us her time today, and we're grateful for that. Gloria, blessings to you and protection.
And to you, Neil, and your ministry.
As you continue to travel, and we just pray for life change, and that the hope continues to be available to these trafficked young and older ladies as well. Thank you for tuning in today to Connecting Faith. If you missed part of the show or want to pass it on again to a friend, you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. We post our interviews there each day. Look for the archive.